Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Boomer and Geo Podcast from WFAN.
And we're coming to you live for the Built for Tough Studio. Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti. It's Boomer and Geo on the Fan, simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network. And wherever you are on the free Odyssey app, good Wednesday morning. What world are we living in where tomorrow night the New York Jets are favored by 6.5 points over the New England Patriots? And with 12 games to go, the New York Mets have a 2-game lead on the Atlanta Braves for a playoff spot. I'll say it again because Boomer just walked in the studio.
I heard it.
What world are we living in?
Yes, woohoo!
That the New York Jets are a 6.5-point favorite over the New England Patriots, and the New York Mets are 2 games up on a playoff spot over the Atlanta Braves. That's right. Both those things are happening right now. A great night for the Mets. A team meeting. This team loves a team meeting, and this one was called by David Stearns and Carlos Mendoza, and they felt like they needed to speak to the team because of the Lindor injury, which concerns me just a little bit. Maybe they know something that we don't. I don't know, but I'm going to think positively. Then Pete Alonso got up there. He said, screw this. I'm going to take this moment, and I'm going to say something. And he talked about having a gut feeling that this team was going to be in the playoffs. He wanted to celebrate with the boys and all of this stuff. And he also had a good feeling about staying here as a New York Met. But one thing at a time. Did go out and have a big night last night, and the Mets are in the best position they have been yet to get a wild card spot. They're tied with the Diamondbacks and 2 up on the Braves, incredibly enough. And congratulations to Jerry Recco. He got his 83rd win. So, yeah, congratulations, Jerry. He got his $120 that he bet all the way back in March. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
Yeah, I'm great, G, and why wouldn't I be? I mean, you got two baseball teams that explode last night and for different reasons, and you see different players stepping up now, and all of a sudden, we have ourselves a real barn burner, as you will, especially with the Mets, because, you know, being where they are in all of this, and we all know what the future holds. We know what the last, 11 games are going to be. I think you got the Phillies, the Braves, and the Brewers. So it's going to be a mad dash push to the end here, and you can't take anything for granted. That's why they have to win these games against the Nationals. They got to sweep them. They got to win today. They got to bank as many wins as they can. And, you know, the Phillies always give them, trouble, and you just have to beat the teams you're supposed to beat. And it'll be interesting to see how these teams, obviously that Braves series is going to be enormous. It'll be interesting to see how Milwaukee goes about that end of season series at Milwaukee, given the fact that, they're going to make the playoffs. I don't necessarily know how you think about yourself, think about these days off and getting a team out of rhythm and wanting a team to continue to play. And this is maybe why, these wild card teams go to the World Series, is because they don't stop playing.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's been enough evidence there that shows you that these breaks don't work out well. Didn't work out well for the Mets a couple years ago. Well, I guess more than a couple years ago now, 2015, yeah. When they ended up sweeping the Cubs. I mean, I mean, we've seen a ton of these. What was the Detroit Tigers back in 2006 when the Mets lost to the Cardinals? The Tigers had swept and got in there, and the Cardinals played the 7-game series and went and beat them right after that. So, I mean, there's examples all over the place of teams that have had time off. I think with the way that the Mets have been playing and how their ass has been in the jackpot for 2 months now.
Just keep playing. Right, exactly. So you never know. I mean, and maybe, I don't know about this Lindor thing, and it's amazing that it has to happen now.
Yeah.
But I will say, even though there was, you know, it's going to be interesting in the field for Acuña. That's going to be an interesting thing. Like,
yeah.
they're bringing him up in the middle of a pennant race. Think about this for a second.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's the right thing to do.
I'm not saying it's not the right thing to do. Maybe he was bored at Syracuse. Maybe he didn't like Syracuse. I don't know.
Why wouldn't you like Syracuse?
Well, the point being is that maybe this kid just wants to be in the big leagues.
Yeah.
And he wants to be here. And last night, you saw the bat, the quickness, how hard the ball's coming off the bat. I mean, he just looks like a Major League Baseball player. Maybe sometimes guys don't do well in the minor leagues, but they do better up here because they feel like this is their destiny. I don't know. He doesn't seem like he's overwhelmed by anything, at least now.
No, I mean, right.
It's our real first look at him.
Right. I also think it is our real first look at him, and I also think the fact that, you know, he's got a brother who's as good and as famous as he is has a lot to do with him looking comfortable coming up, because he's got a mentor right there. Also, the fact to think that, you know, he's been a number one prospect for a long time. He's got a lot of eyes on him. So, you know, guys like that, we see it in college football too. Guys like that sometimes can thrive and sometimes they don't. But a lot of them, like Joe Burrow, when he came into the league and was like, everybody's like, well, how could you be so comfortable in the NFL? Well, I'm playing in front of 200,000 people down at LSU. I won a national championship. It's a little bit different when you're coming from Syracuse to here, but he is someone that people have been talking about for a long time, and he's got major league pedigree in his family. So it doesn't surprise me that he looks comfortable.
Yeah, well, hopefully he's going to stay comfortable. That's the thing, especially with the Lindor question mark and everything else. And it was nice to see Pete Alonso. Okay, he got up in a meeting. Great, fine. But you got to back it up. I know he did. And that's this is his time to shine. If he wants to save his Mets career,
yeah,
and he wants to have a big contract, which I would want if I were in his place, and so would you, and so would everybody else, this is the time to shine, especially when the best player on the team is not in the lineup.
Yeah.
And I've been saying this. He's got the ability to carry the team if he just takes care of business. And when he gets up, let's just say, you know, 2 out of 4 times you come through in a big spot, you know, you're going to be a hero here.
Yeah, now I'm going to ask you this question, and I really would like you to not say, why are you thinking negatively? Because I don't think I'm thinking negatively. I'm just asking a question.
All right. I'm not going to overreact.
All right, because I'm happy too this morning. I am. And this team meeting seems to have worked out. I'm glad Alonso got up there.
It's one game.
Right, no, I know. For last night, I'm glad Alonso got up there. But is it a little bit concerning that the general manager and the manager felt like they needed to talk to the team about Francisco Lindor being out? Like, that to me makes me think that they know that it's worse than they want to say, and they want to get the team in the right mind frame to not have him around. Because if it's really going to be just a couple of days or a couple of games,
they have the meeting?
Yeah, just I just felt a little weird about that.
Yeah.
That's all.
I have to be honest, in all the years that I played in the NFL, never once did the general manager or team president ever call a meeting. That's never happened.
Yeah.
Now, the coach has called for a meeting. Of course, you're meeting with them every single day, in this case, the manager. That to me kind of gives me an inclination that they were delivering bad news.
Yeah.
What I feel like. Okay, guys, look, here's the deal. You know, Francisco may be gone for 10 days. We may not get him back until the playoffs, if we can make the playoffs. So you guys got to focus in, and we got to get to the playoffs so we can get Francisco back here.
I mean, that's exactly what I was thinking.
Right. It's not negative, but it is. It's. I just think it's a inquisitive take on why David Stearns would call the meeting.
Yeah.
And I think you're spot on. I gotta give you credit on this one. It's not your negative. It's not being negative. It's just being inquisitive.
Yeah, I mean, it says so. Three people spoke. It was the president of baseball operations, the manager, and then Pete Alonso, who is supposed to be the guy who steps up when Francisco Lindor is not there. So I backs are weird, and I know that they said no structural damage, but obviously we've seen guys struggle with with back issues and really be debilitating. So I don't know.
I'm just trying to think when he heard it, what, about, was it 4 days ago this thing started?
It was Friday night.
It's Friday night, okay. Yeah, it's about 4 days ago.
Right. Okay.
Oh, man. That sucks.
I didn't
even think of it the way that you just thought of it.
Yeah.
I mean, I was just so giddy with the way that that they played the last two games.
You still can be, and maybe it's not anything.
And watching Acuña do what he did, although it could be an adventure in the field at shortstop. It could be.
Yeah. Well, I mean.
And then you realize all the other things that Francisco Lindor does for this team other than just the offensive numbers that everybody wants to point to. They forget that he plays defense, too, and his defense is of paramount importance because of the position he plays.
Well, he'll probably end up playing second base, obviously. We know that. Acuña, eventually.
Yeah, eventually.
But I'm just saying, like. But you're going to need him now to play shortstop.
And all it takes is one mistake in a game. Look, this kid is, I'm not worried about him. I mean, it's great to see guys like Vientos and Acuña and Alvarez. Those are three guys that you're developing or you traded for and developed or, you know, they're starting their young careers on your roster.
Well, I mean, that's sort of been the story of the resurgence with the Mets is that it's sort of rotated who, other than Francisco Lindor, who's been consistent, it's sort of rotated who are the guys that are hot. I mean, Brandon Nimmo carried the team offensively for a very long time. Now he's in a slump.
But he's one of your guys.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
Pete Alonso's one of your guys. Francisco Alvarez, Mark Vientos, Acuña. I mean, you see these guys. These are all your guys.
Yep. Well, Acuña's now our guy for sure.
Well, they traded for him. But, of course, they got him when they got him, and now he has an opportunity. I mean, all I can tell you is that when you see the youth on this team, you got to be pretty excited for the future.
Yeah, I think that's sort of the way I was looking at this season from the beginning of it was give the fan base some sort of hope for what's to come. But the way that this has gone now, it's like it's a why not us feeling, especially with as great as the starting pitching has been, which was a complete revelation for this group. So that's why, you know, Lindor being essentially the MVP. I mean, you can argue about the 50-50 season. We're not going to do that today. Everybody else will do that. But who the MVP is. But, let's get real. This guy plays shortstop every single day. You take him off the team, God knows what the Mets are going to be. And that's why you just hope that he comes back and he's himself because they can't go on a magical run without him. They can't.
All right, so it's September 18th. The season goes until September 29th. Okay, 11 days left.
Yep.
This has got to be the push right here.
Well, yeah, of course. And they're two games up and tied with the Diamondbacks. So.
And you got to win tonight. You got to win tonight. You got to take care of business tonight against the light hitting Nationals, and you can't. You just cannot lose this game tonight. You cannot fall flat. You got to just keep the pedal to the metal. And then there's four against the Phillies, three against the Braves, and then three against the Brewers.
Yeah, I mean that Braves series
has got to be the toughest schedule remaining for any team, I would think.
Well, yeah, I mean with three playoff teams. If the Braves were in it, but they're out right now.
Yeah, but the Braves are a rival.
Right.
That's a rival. And that's a series that's going to mean playoffs.
And they're chasing the Mets, yeah. Right. So, I mean, this is just like they were in 2022.
And there's unfortunate history between those two teams.
Just like they were in 2022.
Right. So, it's interesting. You mentioned 2015 and the Mets and everything else. You know, the last time the Jets beat the Patriots at home, I think, was 2015.
So the Jets beat the Patriots.
The Patriots have an 8-0 record. 8-0. No. At home. At Meadowlands.
Oh, wow.
New England is 8-0 in their last eight games at the Meadowlands.
Yeah. I heard C-Mac, he's a StatPak guy now, too, I think, because he's been talking about this. First time since, or maybe it was Jerry. I'm sorry. Doesn't matter. First time that the Jets were favored by more than 6 points over the Patriots since the Vinny Testaverde game in 1999.
Wow.
Since Tom Brady was in Michigan, you have
Brady and Belichick taking over in 2001. Well, Belichick before that, but
yeah.
Brady in 2001 with Belichick. I mean, they dominated the AFC East, and no team in the AFC East had any quarterback to speak of that could even remotely rival Tom Brady.
Yeah, I mean, so
all those years that Tom Brady dominated this division, and now this division is being dominated by Josh Allen.
Yep.
So, you know, this is the time where Aaron Rodgers has got to lead this team. Good news for the Jets, and this is really good news for the Jets. Their passing attack, Aaron Rodgers is getting rid of the ball in 2.4 seconds. That is the best in the NFL. So he is heeding your advice.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He heard me.
You said at the beginning of the year, you said, hey, he's got to play more like Tom Brady and less like the old Aaron Rodgers running around. Because obviously we can see that the movement and mobility isn't what it used to be. And nor would we expect it to be because of the injury that he came off of and because he's 40 years of age and he's having a blast playing at the age of 40. But he's got a lot of good young players around him. And as we said, experience, arm strength, and accuracy are the three things that he can dominate a game with. And that's what we've seen. And the other good news is that he's not holding on to it. So he's not taking the hits. So get rid of it in 2.4 seconds. And their pass protection rate is like 20%, which is the best in the NFL, meaning that, you know, he's got a clean pocket 80% of the time.
Yeah.
Which is really, this is where the quarterback helps. Obviously, it's great to have a Hall of Famer awaiting not only a quarterback, but at left tackle. It helps when they're playing well, but it's a 17-game season. They're older. They have had injury history. So this is a game where, you know, when the Patriots come in Thursday night, they don't have an offense to speak of. Their wide receivers are frustrated. They're young. Nobody knows how good they are or how bad. Nobody knows anything about them because it's really Hunter Henry and Ramondre Stevenson, the running back. But there is really no passing game to speak of when it comes to New England because they're playing so careful. They're afraid to turn the ball over, and Jacoby Brissett is just not taking any chances down the field.
And the Jets have to win this game.
It's like the Mets have to win tonight.
Yes, but it's more the Mets have a little bit of a cushion here. The Jets can't lose these games to the Patriots now, where the way the pendulum is swung. No Brady, no Belichick. Aaron Rodgers is here. I'm sorry,
Jacoby Brissett.
An
offensive line that's in a state of flux in New England.
And I know they won week one against the Bengals, and that was a shocker, but they had the lowest over-under win total of any team in the NFL, the New England Patriots, because of the way their roster was and the transition they're going through. It's
two key turnovers by the Bengals that cost them that game, basically. They didn't get anything really out of their offense, and T. Higgins didn't play, and it was a different team last week against Kansas City. Like, for some reason, the Bengals, I don't know. They just take a while to get going, but when they get going, they're like a steamroller,
sure,
especially on offense. But I don't know. This is a game Thursday night. If the Jet way to win is exactly what they did in Tennessee, quick strike passing, get rid of the ball, and then run the ball effectively like they have, and that's what they have to do offensively to play exactly the way they did in Tennessee, and they're going to win at least 10 to 11 games.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
I'm John Aran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Jerry is here with some happy recap stuff for the Mets and Yankees and some football as well. What's going on, Jerry?
Good morning. Brought to you by Hard Rock Bet. Download the Hard Rock Bet app and roll with us. We're also brought to you by Jackpocket. Order official state lottery games on your phone. And indeed, a happy recap for both teams. We will start with the Mets at Citi Field last night.
1-2 pitch. Floated in the air over first. Down the line, it's a fair ball. This will score two. Acuna is in. Iglesias behind him. Marte gets to third. Alonso, a bloop single to right. He scores a pair. And the Mets take a 3-1 lead.
And that was Keith Rad on Odyssey Mets Radio. 3-1 at that point. 10-1 would be the final. Alonso goes 3-for-5. That tie-breaking two-run single also adds a three-run homer late. Luis Angel Acuna, you guys have talked about him, had the big double, also his first home run. In terms of the team, now 83-68, now two games up on Atlanta for that third wild card spot and tied with the Diamondbacks. Here is Alonso says, nice to be in the position we've put ourselves in.
We control our own destiny, you know. We control our own destiny, and that's what we want to do. We just want to win as many ball games as we can.
And in terms of that team meeting that you guys were discussing earlier as well, this was Alonso on why he did what he did and what has to happen now.
I just wanted to say some things from the heart, because this place is really special, and there's a great fan base here. It's a great city, and I'm just really fired up, because the situation we put ourselves in.
Right. They did it all for you, Jerry.
They did it for me.
They did it for you, man. They knew that you believed in them way back when, before the season started. And you covered your bet.
I did.
Man, well, they did. It's got to be somewhat satisfying when you saw that win last night.
It was. Yeah, it was. I would agree.
Look at me, bitches.
That's what I'm saying.
Something like that. When they had that inning where they scored the four runs, because it was, you know, the first couple of innings they were slow to get going, but once they got moving, it was pretty good.
Yeah.
And when Acuna drops that ball at second base, like, ugh, it's going to be one of these nights. It was all right, though. Not
bad. Did you pop a bottle of champagne?
I did not, because I was asleep when the game went final.
Oh, okay. Oh,
but I felt pretty good at 4-1 that they were going to win the game.
I was just picturing you as the final out, getting ready to... I just think it's great when something like this happens.
That's fun.
You should celebrate it.
Now, had I had some stones and bet a couple $1,000 as opposed to $100, maybe I would have.
Yeah, the bet's a bet. You made the bet.
It was still
you won
fun.
The bet, and you know you made the bet before the season started.
That is correct.
That's the beauty of the bet.
100%. That's right. And it had me watching for a different reason all season long, even for just $100.
So happy for you.
No, thank you. So here was Alonso talking about playing without Lindor, as they have. Now, I heard you guys, I think it was you or C-Max, and one of you guys were talking about maybe being concerned about because of this meeting that was brought
up. That was Gio who brought that up.
Okay. You might be very right about that with Lindor, but they keep saying on the broadcast he's planning to play Thursday against the Phillies, so... I don't know. Yeah, who knows? We'll see. Here was Alonso without him.
It's the task that we have to deal with, and we hope that he has a super swift and speedy recovery. But in the meantime, the boys will hold it down.
The boys are holding it down.
Super swift, man. He is a strange man.
Super swift recovery.
I know.
Oh, God. He's probably going to be terrible at cameo. Hope you have. And hopefully your arm grows back after losing it like a starfish. And you can do all the stuff you wanted to do. Like, because you're a good dude? Yeah.
He just seems like a nice, goofy guy. Right?
Yeah.
That's all he is.
I would think so. And that goofiness has got to go away now. Now we got to focus in.
Let's go. Keep
now
it home run.
The team. Let's go.
Acuna hit his first. This was through a translator on SNY. He got the start at shortstop, and he contributed in a big way.
I'm just excited to be here just for the opportunity that God has given me, but also feeding off the energy that the fans have given us today. But yeah, I'm really grateful to be here.
Now, a couple of guys that probably get lost in the shuffle but shouldn't. Jose Iglesias was in the leadoff spot when 3-for-4, scored a couple of runs.
Oh, my God.
That's right. Tyrone Taylor had an RBI double, and Tyler McGill, the win, he threw six innings of two-hit ball. As for, we mentioned what the Braves were doing or not doing, it was pretty noticeable what was happening with the scoreboard, as Carlos Mendoza would tell us.
You heard the crowd, you know, even before the game was over, they were making noise, and we didn't know what was going on, you know, until somebody said, oh, yeah, because so-and-so took the lead. I was like, oh, okay, we got to take care of business here.
So the Braves had the lead, and here is how they lost the lead.
1-2. Fly ball to deep left field. Laureano going to go back. This is trouble. Back to the wall. Gone. into the first row by Spencer Steer. And the Reds have the lead for the first time tonight, as it's now 6-5 Cincinnati.
That's a home run happy ballpark.
Yes, it is. Yeah, but for both teams. But yes. The Reds got the big one late, and they would beat the Braves, which is why it's a two-game lead. The Mets tied with the Diamondbacks because, once again, the Rockies beat Arizona. This time the final was 8-2. All right, let's take you out to the Pacific West. We go to Seattle, where the Yankees were playing the Mariners, and Aaron Judge getting them out to a nice early lead.
The pitch. Swinging a hard shot down the left field line. That's a fair ball. It's going to roll all the way to the corner. Early scoring for the Yankees. Torres touches home. Soto jogs in. A Rosarena throws it in just now as Aaron Judge drives in two. A two-run double. Yankees up 2-0.
And that's Justin Shackle with the call on the fan. Move ahead to the next inning. It was Aaron Judge with a two-run single. Yankees up 4-0 along the way. Austin Wells a three-run double. Jason Dominguez his first home run of the season. And yes, Juan Soto his 40th homer and 200th of his career. That said, at 2-0, the Mariners had the bases loaded, two out, Justin Turner was up, and there was a 3-0 count as Luis Gil was behind, kind of on the mound, but a little bit behind it and put his head down, and Victor Robles, who got hit by a pitch to start the inning, was on third. He thought and thought badly.
Here comes Robles going for home, the throw home. He is out at home plate. Robles broke for home, trying to go for the steal. Peel to Wells. Austin Wells put the tag on, and the Yankees get out of the inning.
That was close.
With Seattle scoring
nothing. He had to make a perfect throw, and
yeah,
he did.
And he did. And why would you do that if you're Robles?
Well,
he thought it was a lock. I mean, he thought, I got him. He's not paying attention. He's not looking at me. I'm halfway down the baseline. And he was wrong, and it was completely idiotic.
Wow.
That he got thrown out. But if he had scored, it was a second, split second later, he'd be talking about Luis Gil completely being in la-la land.
Yeah.
But that's not what happened.
Hey, Al, do we have like a turning point for the Yankee game? Because that would be it right there.
We don't do that.
Oh.
Middays do that, right?
Right. They do it. We don't do it.
Who does it?
BC Midday, and Sal.
Yeah. Oh, they do it.
Right. But there was
that would be the turning point, right? Wouldn't that be the turning point?
I would think so. Sounds
pretty
good.
What do you think?
Yeah.
Turning point?
Jerry? Yeah. You could make that case because they go up 4-0 right after it.
Yeah, I mean, base is loaded, 3-0 yeah. count, and this guy tries to steal home?
Dummy.
Not a smart play for sure.
Not a smart play.
Yeah, so that's got to be the turning point.
Here was Soto on Yes about getting his 200th home run.
It's another goal for my career. I feel really happy about it, really excited. And what a best way to do it, winning the game.
But
right now, 40-103 for him. 40 home runs, 103 RBIs, I believe.
It's been pretty
right?
good.
That's pretty good.
What is Judge have, like 135, 136, something like that?
I think. And
so how about these two? I saw this note in the game recap, and I'm sure they talked. Okay, TV beat me to it. Damn it. Soto and Judge, the third set of Yankee teammates to each hit 40 homers in a season. Ruth and Gehrig in 27, 30, and 31. Mantle and Maris in 61. That's pretty cool company.
Yeah.
That is cool company.
You know what they call that? Historic.
Do you think when Soto's with Alonso next year that they'll be the first set of Met teammates to have four? All right, so.
Why are you predicting that?
What's this?
I mean, you're pretty good at predicting baseball, I have to say.
I actually do think Soto's going to be on the Mets.
You do?
Yeah, I do.
You don't think the Yankees can afford him?
I didn't say that.
If Soto had a choice of the Mets or the Yankees, what do you think he's going to do? I think he would.
If the money is the same, I think he goes to the Yankees.
He stays in the Yankees, yeah. But you think the Mets are going to just unload the Brinks truck for him?
I do. I do. Yeah. We'll see. Now, another guy that came into the conversation when you were talking about Francisco Lindor was Shohei Ohtani. So last night with the Marlins and the Dodgers, they did lose, but he did this.
Pitch, and Ohtani swings, hits a drive, deep to right field. It is into the upper deck for home run number 48. And the Dodgers on the board. It's 4-2 as Shohei Ohtani hits his first home run on the road trip.
Of course, all the Dodger fans are saying, another home run when they're losing. Doesn't really matter. No, I'm just kidding. They did lose the game 11-9, but 48 home runs, 48 stolen bases for Ohtani in what has been a remarkable season, as we know. All right, let's get to some football now because we got a whole bunch of that, too. The Giants did sign kicker Greg Joseph. The Giants have not been a good team so far through two games. Here was Jermaine Illuminor with BT and Sal trying to just stay focused and block a lot out.
I think the locker room's doing a phenomenal job of, you know, boxing out the noise and just keeping focused on what we need to do as a team in order to put ourselves in the best position
to win. There is one guy. There's one guy that maybe he should listen to, and he also happens to be on this station. and that would be Evan Roberts, who is kind of taking the Tom Lugauer approach with the Mets, with the Giants. And he came up with a rallying phrase for the Giants 2 games in to not, to not.
Yeah, go ahead. 2 games in to not what?
Let me just preface this by saying I almost drove off the road when I heard this.
Okay.
And I mean all of it. So this is Evan, he's imploring the Giant fans to have this take and to use this going forward.
Now, he's a Jet fan.
He is.
How about this slogan? Since everyone thinks the Giants are dead, if they turn their season around, holy crap.
What?
Holy crap!
So he then took it a step further and decided to become like Iglesias and put together a song for the Giants.
Good song, I hope.
Based on his new phrase.
Holy crap!
Wait a second.
Holy crap, that's right.
Wait. What is that song? Is there a song named Holy Crap?
It's like an AI song that he created.
Holy crap, we're back, you better be never. Holy crap, shining bright like treasure. Crap, you know we're gonna win. Holy crap.
Holy crap is right, like I said.
man. So he just put in a bunch of words into like ChatGPT.
Yep.
And to make me a rallying cry song around.
Holy crap.
Holy crap.
This sounds like an Izzo production.
Yeah.
Maybe it is. I don't know. I give it to him for creativity, though.
Yeah. I don't know if Evan could come up with that. Yeah.
Well, not the AI part of it.
But. Well, this is Evan's speed.
Boo, boo, bee, ba, 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 boo, bee.
God. So I will tell you that the three guys that he is working with were not impressed. Matter of fact, less than impressed, and they wanted him to seek help.
Well, that's how we're reacting to it.
Well, that's why I played it for you. Okay. I was in the car. I pulled over to mark down the time, so I would remember to come back and get
did
it.
Did he have that song ready to go?
Yes, he teased it going into the break.
Oh, okay.
So it was ready. It was
part of his. So then it definitely was an Izzo production.
Well, so be it. Holy crap. Tomorrow night, the Jets take on the Patriots, opening up week 3. This is one Aaron Rodgers looking forward to the home opener.
There's always emotion. If you love the game, there's always emotion. So there'll be emotion this week, as there always is during the anthem and seeing our crowd and night games and the excitement driving up to the stadium and seeing the tailgate happening. So it's always fun.
Don't get hurt this time.
Yeah, it's kind of nice because when we come to the station, we have emotion. Every day.
A lot of emotion.
We bring it every day.
A lot of emotion.
Yeah. Those emotions when I open up that giant bike room door to walk in and then all the construction guys follow me and they're looking all depressed because it's like 5 o'clock in the morning and then the security opens the door and then they keep their heads down and nobody says anything to each other. And then I open another door and there's two little rats that run underneath this big giant fan.
It makes you feel like you're at home.
And then I see EJ Stewart, who's got a giant leg brace on after ripping his patella tendon, limping up as I'm limping up with gout. He's limping up with his knee. And we get into the elevator and don't speak to one another. Yeah, I mean, it's the same type of thing as rolling up to an NFL
pretty good.
Game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we sit in these chairs, we start the music, and you feel the excitement.
Holy crap. Holy crap.
Lastly, in Pittsburgh, the Steelers apparently gave Russell Wilson a quote-unquote game ball for their win over the Broncos because of the way they treated him. There's some name for this. I have no idea, but that's not the point.
They gave him $150 million. They could treat me that way.
No one cares. So here's the point. Mike Tomlin was asked about this and what went into it.
But is this certain things as a leader that I talk to the collective about that I have zero intentions of sharing with the larger public? You know, I can't give you all the ingredients to the hot dog. You might not like it.
Is that a new one?
Yeah, which is like, you know, lips and buttholes.
Oh, God.
Hold on a second.
He's a beauty.
Wait, I'm confused.
Me
the
too.
The Steelers gave him a game ball.
Yeah, the Steelers gave him a game ball.
But the Steelers did not give him $150 million.
No.
The Broncos did,
and they gave Russell the game ball, even though he didn't play, because they felt that he was treated wrongly by the Broncos. So they gave him, I forget what they called it.
And Boomer's point was they treated him badly. They gave him $150 million.
Yeah, they gave
a petty ball or something?
What'd you
say? Is that a petty ball? Is that what it's called?
That's what it was. So here's a petty ball for you to make you feel better because we beat the team that just actually screwed you and now
gotcha.
We're screwed.
Gotcha. All right. Now
I
got it. Yeah.
And then it worked. I just wanted to work in the hot dog reference. That's all. And the Dolphins did sign quarterback Tyler Huntley, and Tua is going on IR.
I'm going to read the ingredients of a hot dog to prove my point. Beef lips, beef buttholes. That's it.
Gross.
All right. Very good, Jerry. We'll see you next hour. It's Boomer and Geo coming to you live from the Bill Ford Tough Studio.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Saw this story on the show sheet this morning about ESPN SEC host Peter Burns, who was in Columbia, Missouri, ahead of the Missouri-Boston college game. It was Boston College. Yep. Yeah. Missouri-Boston College game. And he was out to dinner with his crew, and a lot of this just reminded me of us as we're out to dinner a lot when we're on, you know, doing certain things, whether it's a remote or with Super Bowl or whatever, and this guy starts choking on a piece of food. And he knew it was serious, motioned that he couldn't breathe, and then one of his friends comes over, tries the Heimlich, doesn't work. Then a nurse runs over there, tries the Heimlich. Doesn't work. And then a Missouri football fan who was just trained, I guess he was a youth football coach, who was just trained on the Heimlich and choking, comes over and boom, pops it out of there. And I thought about how we have a man on this staff who saved a life in the newsroom, in Jerry Recco. He was choking next to the vending machine. And he gave him the Heimlich, helped him, popped the food out, and then Jerry just walked right in here and did an update and didn't tell any of us.
Yeah, and he didn't even get employee of the month. That's the thing that really irked me. I'm like, first of all, it probably wasn't seen by many people because it was so early. I mean, some people saw it.
Okay.
But, you know, that's a true hero. Somebody who comes walking in, does his job, doesn't say anything about how he saved somebody's life. That's a real hero.
Yeah, I mean, and, you know, Peter Burns, obviously, he's a TV guy, college football successful. But, I mean, Jerry's a famous person, too. And this is in the USA Today. It's the number of publications that put this out there. It got Al's attention to put on the show sheet. And Jerry Recco himself, the hero.
Yeah, but
saved an employee's life.
Odyssey didn't put out a PR.
Because he didn't. He didn't himself. It was months later he told us about this.
I would say I am the hero.
Right. Now, if that were Al, there would have been he would have been all over social media.
We got a key to the city.
Yes. And he would have had Izzo in here filming him doing a thank you speech. Something along those lines.
Meet your neighborhood hero, Al Dukes.
See? There you go.
So he takes a picture, and I understand it's like it's a traumatic event. He thinks he's going to die while choking. This guy saves his life. But then he posts the picture on X with the guy and then tells the whole story.
But let me ask you a question, though. You said that some Missouri football fan is the guy that actually saved somebody's life.
Right, right, right. But it saved Peter Burns' life, who was the famous guy.
Oh, he was the guy that was choking.
Right, he was the guy that was choking.
Oh, I didn't realize it was him that was
choking. Yeah, it was him that was choking.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
So it was him that was choking. So, I mean, I guess it just kind of shows you the way that people handle certain situations. You know, Jerry Recco saves a man's life, comes in here, goes about his day, doesn't tell anybody. You know, Peter Burns gets his life saved, immediately takes a picture, puts it up on X.
Yeah, but
what is News 12 doing here? Who called them?
And he wanted to tell News 12 New Jersey all about it.
Here's the deal. I mean, I think Peter put it out there, rightfully so, to say thank you to the guy that saved his life, and also it heightens awareness about knowing how to do the Heimlich.
Yeah. And we have in our office one of those. I should probably put it in here just in case.
LifeVac.
Yeah, LifeVac.
The LifeVac's is a great product, especially for kids.
Yeah.
Everyone should have one in the house.
Yeah. I think I should have it right here next to me, just in case one of us is eating something, just suck it right out of there, right?
Yeah.
You know what, though? I would be... Now, tell me if I'm wrong here.
Okay.
But, like, if someone's choking, and I pull this LifeVac thing out, and I'm, like, got it on somebody's face, and I'm, like, trying to suck it out with a plunger, right? And then I screw up, and I don't do it right. Then the people blame the machine or the user error?
It could have been user error. It could have been the device itself. But You know, I think that life hack is a good thing to have, especially on kids.
I have two in my house.
I know.
Got two of them. That's how much I trust it. I'm just, my fear is that I don't use it correctly.
Right. Well, you gotta maybe practice.
Well, that would scare the hell out of the kids.
Yeah, but I think you could put it on Gina's face and see if it works that way. Don't put it on the kid's face.
So you want me to have Gina choke on something?
No, I don't want her to choke on anything.
How are we going to tell if it's going to work?
Well, she'll tell you when you activate the device.
Or you could just get one of those Resusa Annies from your local...
That's true. You can get one
emergency
of those.
Place.
Red Cross, right? From the Red Cross.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, if you're worried about it, then I would practice with it. But if you're not, you know... And the other thing, too, is don't forget about the Heimlich just in case.
I mean, clearly.
I mean, now you got two ways to do something. Hopefully, you won't have to do it.
Hopefully, I don't have to.
But again, I think this is, again, it heightens the awareness of the Heimlich and saving somebody's life.
The more heroes, the better.
Yeah.
So you're telling me Jerry did a bad job by not heightening the awareness of the Heimlich maneuver?
Did I say that? I didn't say that. You just said that he helped. Extrapolate that from what I'm saying right here, you can say Jerry just wanted to go about his day and just wanted to be the humble guy that he is.
Okay.
That's all.
All right.
Wasn't looking for any sort of credit. Just did his job and saved the guy's life and...
Went and played Mets highlights.
Exactly.
That was it.
Very simple.
By the way, Phil Sims joins us today at 8 a.m. And I'm going to ask him about that Balance of Nature. Because I listened to that commercial that he does about Balance of Nature.
I heard it too. And I'm like, what is he talking about?
Yeah.
He never
tells me what it is. You notice that with the just like I was watching the TV and I saw it and it was interesting. So that's how it started.
It's a lot of him telling us how great he is. I've won Super Bowls. I've done it all.
Right.
I've played 15
really?
Years.
No, I'm really proud of that.
I haven't heard this yet. Is it like gag me with a spoon type of thing or what? I mean,
maybe for you, yeah. I think
it'd be a little tough for me to hear it.
Yeah, yeah.
Why? Why would it be tough for me to hear it?
Well, just because you and Phil have a back and forth thing, and like you would if you guys were on the set together and he was reading this, you'd probably roll your eyes. Be like, all right, Phil, enough about yourself.
He's my best friend. What am I supposed to do? I'm not gonna.
We'll find that commercial and play it for you.
All right, because I need to hear it.
And then the best part is at the end where it goes, use promo code, and then him go, Phil. It's like you haven't heard his voice in 15 seconds. And then all of a sudden, and then go to balanceofnature.com and use promo code Phil.
You guys are heartless, man.
What do you mean heartless?
I mean,
I'm talking about how great Balance of Nature is for Phil Sims. I'm just saying that it's just like he in that commercial.
Well, we have to get him to recut the commercial then.
I would. Just being a friend that I am to him. I would say this is, we got to do it.
Well, I'm sure that when we open with him this morning at 8 o'clock, you can bring this up to him.
I will.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.